Praise God. Wonderful. If you have your Bible with you, would you turn with me to the third chapter of the book of Acts, please? Acts chapter 3. Something that came out of the mouth of Peter when he was in Jerusalem preaching. He and the fellow disciple named John were at the gate beautiful. An amazing miracle happened. And Peter was explaining what the Lord had done, how they had been the vessel, the point of contact for this great miracle. And about two-thirds of the way through the chapter, in verse number 19, he says something to the Pharisees, the leaders, and all those who were investigating such a great miracle. And he says this, he says, repent therefore. In fact, you know what, let's stop 1 second, because I want to read from the Galaxy Fold version. Hallelujah. I'm just showing off. I don't know why I did that. It's nothing to do with the Word of God. He says, therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away. Look at this. In order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order, in other words, to make a way for times of refreshing, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. How many of you know that we need times of refreshing? There's certain times through life, particularly in London, you know, my slogan for London is the struggle is real. I mean, at every turn. I saw something on social media a couple of weeks ago concerning some of the rivers that have flowed into the Thames for the last thousands and thousands of years, that through just the need to supply water to London has dried up, like several rivers, ancient rivers. In fact, there's a river towards St. Albans called the River Ver, V-E-R. And the Romans settled in St. Albans. In fact, the capital of Roman Britain was actually St. Albans. And the reason was that the River Ver was like clean drinking water. It was a chalk stream. And also, there was a lot of willow trees planted around there. I don't know if you know this, but willow bark is where they get aspirin from. So aspirin is a natural, what do they call it? It's like a blood thinner. So they found that their people who settled in St. Albans, as it was known, Verulamium back then, were living longer. And they didn't know why, but they knew that the water was good. And now that river's dried up. Just the supply of water to London, the burgeoning population in London, the official figures are something like the population of London is like 9.3 million. But the unofficial population, thou, Lord, knowest. Sewage, Thames water, are having to pour raw sewage into the River Thames on a regular basis because they said, we can't do anything. The sewage system in London was built for 2.8 million people and is just overflowing. Schools, doctors, healthcare, getting to work. Have you noticed how getting to work is a ruck? Getting home is a ruck. Having a home is a ruck. Nudge your neighbor and tell them the struggle is real. Those of you watching by YouTube, if you're thinking of coming to London, don't come. No, I'm kidding. You're very welcome. Let's fill the place up. Hallelujah. And it's just everything. Like the struggle is on every side. You struggle to get up in the morning because you're so knackered. You struggle to get to work. Am I preaching here? Am I telling something true? And you get to work and your job's a struggle because the demands are so high. Pharaoh, the spirit of Pharaoh is there to make sure that you make your bricks without straw. The oppressor is there. The oppressive, what does the Bible talk about it? The oppressor of your wage packet. Anyone ever received oppression in your wage packet? You get your thing and you expect something and the tax man has gone, shah! or your dodgy boss has gone sha, and that bonus is delayed, or whatever. It's a struggle. The struggle. Nudge your neighbor and tell him the struggle is real. Driving is a struggle. Congestion charge, you less, that less, bridge charge, the other charge, parking. I went to Westminster in my old car, £9.80 an hour. Hey, that's after paying 12 quid congestion charge and then 68% tax in my gas tank. The struggle is real. But how many of you know times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord? Can you just give him praise for that? There's a place in God. There's a place in God where times of refreshing can greet you. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. I noticed in ministry as well, you know, a lot of people, I'm in contact with a lot of great, mighty men and women of God throughout the world. And in ministry, no one that I know has ever been busier than now. The wheels of ministry, what God is doing. In fact, Reinhard Bonnke prophesied this in 1979. He said God told him that it used to be the era of the sickle for the harvest. He said, but now it's the era of the combine harvester. That literally, I mean, thousands and millions of souls getting saved on a daily basis. People having encounters, even places where the gospel can't be preached because you'd lose your head or you'd go to jail or anything like that. And Jesus, the Messiah himself, is appearing to these people. Powerful times. Very powerful times. And it's very easy, particularly if you carry quite a heavy anointing, it's very easy for people to end up hanging off you and just pulling from the hem of your garment continually, or, you know, it's me and my situation, because there's a struggle in ministry where Christianity, people have to cross from meanity into Christianity. That we make that vow to God, Lord, if you never blessed me one second, if you never did anything for my life, I would follow you. Job said, though he slay me, yet I will praise him, yet I will serve him. He will be my God. And so a lot of people haven't made yet that transition. In fact, I was talking to some pastors in Ghana, some mighty apostles in Ghana. And I was saying that one of the things that we have to do in the body of Christ is that we have to start thinking and operating strategically. We don't operate generationally many times in the body of Christ. It's all about here, me, now, and this present thing. Me and my blessing, me and my breakthrough, me and my this, me and my that. And the difficulty there is that we don't, if we don't think of strategically into the future and act strategically in the future, then we're always running up the same hill. It's like walking up the down escalator. And I put it this way. I said, can you imagine that you put a meeting on in Accra, and in the first, two different meetings happening at the same time. The first one is a meeting where you're going to be allowing Joseph to minister on how he delivered two nations. And then in the other meeting, you're going to have Samson. I said, which meeting would be full? The Samson one. Because we've been raised on signs and wonders and miracles and blood and fire and jawbone of donkey and pah. Do you see what I mean? But Joseph delivered two nations. Joseph became the forerunner of his brothers into the destiny of heaven for the lives of the people. Isn't it interesting? And I said, we have to get strategic. We have to move off into the future and start thinking as corporations do. Corporations are thinking 20, 30 years ahead. I heard a guy who's very high up in Hollywood, and he said, we know the kind of movies that we're going to be making for the next 8 to 10 years. Isn't that amazing? So they know what we're going to be in the cinema watching in 8 to 10 years' time. That was just that, just like whoosh. And so we have to progress over into that strategic line. Because right now, everything being here and now, me and my this and that, then we get stuck. And like my old pastor, Michael Bassett, used to say, he said, ministry is like a crocodile. He says, imagine you have a pet crocodile living in your house. He says, it starts off that big and you can feed it. And then suddenly, you know, when it's 8 foot long, he said, you have to think of ever more creative ways to feed that sucker before he starts looking at you. I said, whoa, Jesus, I don't want that. I don't want that. We have to rethink this thing dramatically and strategically. But how many people has ministry just worn clean out? I saw it happen with our dear prophet Kathy. Worn out. Worn out. Spirit of weariness can get in and just, boom, land on you. And just you think, oh my gosh, is there any way out? And the next thing, you're pushing for the exit button. First opportunity. I said it in Ghana to some of the people when I heard the news. I said, I know when we lost her. I said, the moment she lost consciousness. Because what happens is, you see, when you lose consciousness, your spirit is still conscious. Your spirit is still responding. So she'll be making contact with heaven. And brother, like, earth is a very pale shadow compared to heaven. First opportunity, if you've ever had visions of heaven or anything like that, it changes your life forever. And then often the first opportunity for the exit button, boom, you're gone. That's that. Bye-bye, cruel world. Hallelujah. Because, you see, the Bible says, eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has it even entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him, but he has revealed them by his Spirit. So there's a spirit of revelation that catches you, and it's like, God, Lord, it's going to take a lot to hold me down. The moment people get weary praying, you're off. I guarantee it. Because heaven, you see, for a born-again, spirit-filled believer, heaven is just like next door. Heaven is just like changing lanes. That is so easy to go. Praise God. May her memory be blessed in Jesus' name. If it blessed your life, give the Lord praise for it. Hallelujah. But you see, here's my thing on this. Death is an enemy. Don't ever, the Lord took it. No, death is an enemy. The Bible says it. He says the last enemy is death. He says we do not see yet all Jesus' enemies put under his feet, but we do see Jesus. So our eyes are firmly fixed on him. And bro, you know, where I grew up, right, we were A-level on vengeance. Growing up in Tottenham, we were A-level on vengeance. If somebody did something to us, it might be 4 or 5 years down the line, but bro, we got them back. We got them back. I'll never forget, even my sister, there was this nightclub. My sister. I hope she doesn't mind me sharing. In fact, she doesn't watch YouTube, so I can say what I like. There was one time some guys pulled up in a car, because we lived in Tottenham. Some guys pulled up in a car and they said, oh, can you tell us where such and such a club is? It was called the Ritzy. Do you know where the Ritzy club is? He says, yeah, you go down there. And they said, thanks. And then they got a water pistol and squirted it in her face. So she and her friend went down there and punctured all the 4 tires of the car. Vengeance. Hallelujah. I can't tell you some of my stories because there's still a statute of limitations. I'm enjoying my freedom. Hallelujah to Jesus. But, you know, we were pretty handy at vengeance. Now, I learned one thing. The Bible says concerning the armor of God, particularly in the book of Isaiah, he says that he put on zeal as a mantle and vengeance as a garment. So one of the things I'm praying for is vengeance on the devil for taking Auntie Kathy home early. I don't know what form it will take yet because it's still taking shape in my spirit. But when it does, A-level vengeance, A-level. It might be crusades. It might be an orphanage. It might be an adoption service. It might be something like that, something that was near or dear to her heart. But we'll get that devil back big time in Jesus' mighty name. The Bible says when your enemy comes against you one way, he will end up fleeing 7. That's my goal in Jesus' mighty name. If you're with me, say a big amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll get it. We'll get it. We'll get it. Times of refreshing. So in these day and age, right, whether it's work, whether it's life, whether it's ministry, whether it's marriage, whether it's children, whether it's studies, whether it's going into overdrive. This overdrive thing has a habit of catching up on you unannounced. I noticed that about my life when I was working full-time for the bank I worked for. I was pastoring full-time and I was engaged to be married, and I had become effectively a stress animal. I had been addicted to my own stress. So if I wasn't stressed out, I didn't feel like I was working. Anyone been there before? It's horrible, isn't it? Trusted weapon of the devil. And I knew I had to develop something. I called it an online relationship with God. This was before, you know, all our internet now at home is online all the time. But who remembers dial-up? Yeah. That was pretty good, wasn't it? Yeah. And you had to dial in to get your internet, right? And God spoke to me before online broadband. He said, you need an online relationship with me. He said, you need to plug in and flow and don't disconnect. So now online broadband is everywhere. So, you know, even your phone is online all the time, right? So we need to develop that with God. We need to like my wife said, we need to learn how to flow with the go. I like that. Where you don't allow the edges to knock and bang you and all that kind of thing. You're just in the flow of that river of life, and you are receiving refreshing online from God all the time. You see, because there's no limitation to the times of refreshing. He says, repent, let your sins be wiped away, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So wherever the presence of the Lord is, there's the opportunity for refreshing. Amen. Question is how, right? So we have to make sure that there are several enemies that are put down so that we can receive that refreshing from God. I want you to turn with me to the book of James. This is a real, real key to maintaining your refreshing, maintaining your online relationship with God. Nudge your neighbor and tell him you're only going to get busier. Yeah. Gosh, I remember, you know, before being married, I thought I was busy. And then before children, I thought I was busy. And then before, like, the increase to ministry, I thought I was busy. And then before going around the world, I thought I was busy. And now I think I'm busy. But who knows what tomorrow holds? Every single one of us is given the same 168 hours a week. However busy Mr. Trump is, however busy Mr. Obama was, or Mr. Clinton, or Mr. Bush, or whatever, we've all got 168 hours a week, right? So it's what we do with that time that determines how efficient and how refreshed we are. And I realized something in God. At my busiest time, I realized that I could be as refreshed as if I was on a beach in Acapulco. And that's what I want to share with you today. I've never been to Acapulco. Have you been to Acapulco? No, wait, you went to Mexico, Cancun. Beach in Cancun. Hallelujah. James chapter 3 and verse number 16. James 3:16. Look at this. He says, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Now, in the King James, it uses the word strife. And actually, if you look in the Greek, it's a better word. It's a better translation. Because where envying and strife is, there is confusion and what? Every evil work. So somewhere along the line, we can trace every evil work back to the doorway of strife. Strife is a major trusted weapon of the devil. Oh, I wish I could only get such and such to do what they said they would do. I wish I could only blah, 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 blah. And literally it's just continuing all the time that we are in. We are stuck in that zone of strife. Particularly if you're in the people management business and people aren't doing what they said they would do, things aren't happening the way they said they would happen or whatever. The opportunity to get into strife and open the door to the devil for every evil work is there. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, shut the door. You see, because in the really and truly, in the bigger scheme of things, it doesn't matter. Life will go on. I love what Mahatma Gandhi said. It's one of my favorite quotes. He said, whatever you do in life, in the bigger scheme of things, will be largely unnecessary and unrecorded. But it's absolutely vital that you do it. Isn't it interesting? There's that paradox there. That we've got a mission to do. We must fulfill it as though the destiny of planet Earth depended on it, even though in the annals of history, it probably won't even be recorded. Such is the thing. I think it's blowing, Zilla. 23 low, please. So we have that opportunity to enter strife at virtually every turn. Somebody pushes you off the bus. Somebody nicks your taxi. The Uber man doesn't show up. The bin men drop all their stuff all over your street. Your wife pours tea on your suit or whatever. Or, you know, like, I mean, just every opportunity. Every opportunity for strife is an opportunity for every work of evil to enter. So we've got to shut strife down as if it was Satan himself. Like, shut it down. Take a knife to strife. Hallelujah to Jesus. Take a knife to your strife. You take that step back. You take that breath. I heard one guy was in New York and he was waiting. You know, sometimes if you're on Fifth Avenue before the days of Uber, if you're on Fifth Avenue, you could wait like 15, 20 minutes for a taxi. And he was on Fifth Avenue, very important meeting to go to. He's waiting and he's standing there in the street with his arm out. The taxi draws to a stop. And the next thing, this real flash dude jumps past, jumps into the cab and says, oh, I'm sorry, as if to say, oh, I didn't see you there. And he saw him there all the time. And this guy says, well, he says, you know what, sir? He said, take the taxi. The Bible says the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. That means you're working for me. Give him the taxi. Off he went. But isn't that a great attitude to have? That these people, because the wealth of the sinner is laid up for us, let them off. Let them take the taxi. Let them have the seat on the bus or anything else that people steal. People steal stuff by force. They do, don't they? They really do. They just take it like, I'm bigger than you, so what are you going to do about it? Your seat on the bus, whatever, whatever it is. And it's that opportunity just to take the step back. Take a knife to the strife, and then you just move on. And hallelujah to Jesus. You have peace. You see, that the peace of God, this is one of the things I realized. The peace of God is worth more than a lot of arguments that we engage in. Can you imagine how many unnecessary things we've entered into, particularly in relationships? I said to my wife once, you know, she was, Abby, our daughter, had a great sense of dress, or at least I thought it was great. It was incredibly creative. Mate. I don't know where she got some psychedelic ideas to do her stuff with. But there was a time, and my wife was really getting kind of nervous. Paolo, I don't think we should allow Abby to, like, wear, you know, pink tights and a black skirt and yellow top and then allow, like, doing her own makeup, you know, at the age of, like, 6 or whatever. I said, my love, I said, choose your battles. Don't allow, just because the enemy brings a fight to you, doesn't mean that you should fight it. There's sometimes you can just walk away. Sometimes you can just walk away. Sometimes you can doze off. I remember some idiot guy, was trying to use divination on me. And it was about 1:30 in the night, 2:00 in the morning. I'd had this argument with this guy. And the next thing, the guy starts appearing to me in a dream. And he's doing this, what you call it, nut. What's that nut one? That, not bonkwe. I'm going to speak to you about that. Not that nuts thing. Cola. Is it cola nuts? Where they're trying to do divination on you in my sleep. And I saw this thing. I heard his voice. I saw this thing coming towards me in my sleep in the realm of the spirit. The realm of the spirit is very real. Oh, pastor, do you believe there's a devil? Mate, just come to Africa. I'll show you proper devil. Anyway, this dude is trying this nonsense on me, right? And I saw it coming towards me. And I said to God, I said, Lord, what should I do? He said, never mind it. Nudge over and go back to sleep. So I just went back to sleep. That was it. Agbina. There's other times. There was once I was coming back on a plane. This is a dangerous one. I was coming back on a KLM plane. I'd just done something for the president of Ghana, and I was flying back through Amsterdam. There was a fire at the fuel dump in Accra. So we had to go to Niger, Jesus help me, to refuel the plane, right? So we are coming into, what's the name of the place, Niamey or Niamey, Niger. So we're heading towards Niger. I dozed off because I had a very long day, 2 hours sleep the night before, right? Now, foolishly, I was at this presidential prayer meeting, and people were coming up to me, thank you, sir, it was great to meet you, blah, blah, blah. Please, can I have your business card? So I was giving out my business card like it was, you know, parking tickets at the Indy 500 or something. And so I'm giving out my business card. The next thing, I'm on the plane coming home, and I realized what had happened afterwards, that I'm sleeping. The next thing I hear is, and I start seeing sparks in my sleep. And I see people gathered round a fire, trying to use fire as a point of contact for my life. Now, some of you, you see, in the West, do you believe there's a devil? We chances are you've got one, mate. If you don't believe there's a devil, probably there's maybe five or six living in you now, and you need proper deliverance. So literally, that, and there's like, I'm in my spirit, I'm like, right. And the Lord said to me, he said, like, it's almost like he went like that. I didn't feel it, but it felt like that in my dream. He said, the Philistines are on you, Samson. So I woke up, I said, I break your power, Satan, in the name of Jesus. You're not going to come near me or my household or my family or my ministry in Jesus' mighty name. 2 minutes later, a woman in the back of the plane died. Died. They had to strap her. Thank God, because we landed at Niamey. And sometimes they won't give you permission to take off if there's a dead body on board. You have to get the body off. There has to be investigation and everything like that. 6 days later, there was a coup in Niger. I was like, so glad to be home, bruv. I'm like reading the papers, like, oh, wow. Thank God Almighty. The things that God rescues us from, we have no clue. And the woman died in the back of the plane. They had to strap her body in and stick the body in the toilets. And we flew on back to Amsterdam. I got my connecting flight to London. You know, sometimes you're so glad to be home. Hallelujah to Jesus. You see, but there's different ways to answer different battles. This one where the guy was using divination, the guy was a low-level nonsense operator. So I literally just rolled over, went back to sleep. No threat at all. But that other one, that was a serious one. Serious one. Either way, God comes out victorious on both. I just use it as another testimony. Stand up on top of it and preach. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's why when I went to the Volta region and I challenged them, I said there was 28,000 people in the football stadium there in Ho, Jubilee Park. And I said, show me the witch who can stand before God. Please stand up now and come. 28,000 people there. No one came forward. Altar call for witches. Why not? You see, that's why I don't lose sleep over the enemy. If my enemy comes against me one way, he will end up fleeing seven ways. And you check my record, it's been right every time. My God never misses an opportunity to rout the devil. Hallelujah. This God we serve, he's very big. Yes, very big indeed. And you see, how do we let him in, though? We can let him in by strife, by weariness. And notice something about what the devil is trying to do in London concerning wearing the people out. And there's almost like the way he does it sometimes. You know the way leeches will suck your blood? There's like a leech spirit. Something happens to you and it's like it sticks to you. And like it's difficult pulling it off. And you have to burn it by fire. Every mood you're in isn't a mood that you yourself have created. You've got to understand that. The devil tries to dictate the mood you're in. Facebook did an experiment, June 2013, a mood experiment. Imagine, where they said that they could effectively control the mood of a nation, and they proved it. They put sad and disturbing and upsetting stories in people's feeds to see how they would respond. And then they had psychologists note the results. Imagine. So not every mood that you wake up with is a mood that has been foreordained by God. So we've got to learn how to lock in, program ourselves for the right destination, and let God be God. What does the Bible say? Oh Lord, arise. Let your enemies be scattered as wax melts before the fire. So let the wicked perish before thee. So there's a fire that God wants to set on the inside of us that then sets the tempo for our day. Hallelujah to Jesus. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, take a knife to strife. Hallelujah. Where there is strife, it says, there is every work of evil. Strife brings about all kinds of evil. Well, what's the solution then? I want to turn over now and give you one of the great solutions that I've found in life. There's a certain place in Christ that God gives us so that we can be the most efficient that we can be. And I want to show it to you. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse number 11. Hallelujah. Isaiah 28, 11. In fact, let's start with the 10th verse. I like that. 10th verse. It says this, for he says, order on order, or in the King James it says, line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. This kingdom that we're in, you see, there's the instantaneous salvation, but then there's also like what I would call the creeping salvation. Salvation that just grows from day to day. Stuff that you know what to do, you know the right thing to do, you do it. And it's like pigeon steps. Some of the time, you see, you can't see how far you've gone in a week in this walk. Sometimes you look back, you can't tell how far you've gone in a month. Sometimes even in a year, you can't tell how far you've developed, right? But then after a few years and you look back and you think, wow, gosh, I've come far. That's what it's like. So that's what we do. We do it line upon line. We do it precept upon precept. We do it a little here, a little there, pigeon step after pigeon step. God said to me once, he said, excellence by definition is the ability to do the best thing on time, all the time. I thought, wow, I really want to develop that in my life. I want to develop an excellent spirit. The Bible says in the book of Daniel that that's what attracted God to Daniel. They have an excellent spirit. May that be your testimony in the mighty name of Jesus. May excellence locate you. And verse number 11, look at this. For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people. Next portion, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. So this is one of the things I've realized about praying in the spirit. Sometimes even praying just under your tongue, you know, you don't have to get on the tube. Shakabaya! You understand? If you want a seat, it's a very good way to get a seat on the tube. You stand up. Next thing you look around, the carriage is empty. You can take your seat and you can, that next stop, you can cross your leg, open your newspaper and look incredibly civilized. People will think, wow, hallelujah. You see, but there's a praying under your breath, right? Praying in the Holy Spirit. In the book of Jude, the Lord says, he says, people were, in the last days, people will go from bad to worse. In other words, you think you've seen it. I thought I'd seen it all until this transgender agenda came up. My Jesus, where did that come from? Five-year-olds being given these books. My God, may we fight that with our last drop of blood in Jesus' mighty name. Devil's a liar. I thought I'd seen it all. But often, you see, there's a weariness that can come on you when you hear such, what is it? It's almost like wave billows. You know, one wave after wave after wave of onslaught of the devil trying to destroy the moral fiber and the family nature of this nation. And you got, like, there's a weariness that can come on you. In fact, the Bible says that one of the trusted weapons of the devil in the life of Lot, Scripture says that when he was living in Sodom, that the devil oppressed, the people of Sodom oppressed his righteous spirit. So there's an oppression and there's a weariness that can come on you as a result of even living in such debauchery. So we've got to learn how to just literally shut the door. You know, Jesus said, he said, when you want to pray, he says, shut the door, enter your closet, shut the door and pray to your Father in secret. Well, often you see that there's not the time or the place to be able to shut the door in the natural, but you can shut the door in the spiritual. You can shut out all distraction. Have you ever noticed how distracting your phone becomes when it comes time to pray? Put your phone away. Don't interrupt your conversation with the Most High because of Tim Cook and Steve Jobs or Samsung, whatever. Don't allow it to happen. Anything like that can wait. Allow God. It's rude. Can you imagine if I'm talking to you right now and you're talking back to me and then the next thing I start opening my phone and start, yeah, 1 minute, Wafa, I just got to do this, blah, 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 and it's some like nonsense that I'm doing. Can you imagine how rude that would be? And yet we do it to God all the time. I've been receiving a conviction about that in my spirit because I was chief of sinners when it came to that. Just trying to stay on top of everything, trying to stay in touch, et cetera. And we need that time of refreshing. You can be in a crowded place and yet you can have your door shut and you can be praying to your Father who's in secret. You can learn how to do it. It's great, great, great. He says, herein lies the refreshing. So we can effectively receive that, be refreshed in our souls, even though we might be going at 120 miles an hour. May that be your portion in the name of Jesus. You'll end up looking younger. You'll end up feeling younger. You get to work refreshed and happy. Everyone who's like stressed out, they look like last week's laundry coming in, and the next thing they're looking at you, and they say, like, how'd you do it? It's like someone said to me once, they said, don't you ever wake up grumpy? I said, no, she gets up at 6. Hallelujah. There's a place. You like that one, Mel? Don't tell her, please. She's busy right now. She's not watching in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You see, there's a weariness. Look at this. Look at this. Trusted weapon of the devil. Daniel chapter 7, verse number 26. Look at what the Bible says here. Verse number 25. Daniel 7, 25. Look at this. Concerning, this is talking about the fourth wave of the devil's attempt to establish his dominion on all the earth. And it says this, and he shall speak great words out against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. So that's what his number one mission in our lives to do is to wear us out. So the number one thing we must be focused on is times of refreshing. Because if we can refresh, if we can update all the time and be online with God all the time, then it doesn't matter how many times the enemy tries to come and wear us out. You're unwearable. Unwearable. You cannot be defeated in this thing. Because every time any kind of weariness, suddenly you step back, you step out, you shut the door, you pray to your Father in secret, Father, I receive your refreshing. And you can go 200 miles an hour, 20 different projects on board, and succeed in every single one of them and look like you just got up back from a holiday in Spain or Mexico or wherever. Hallelujah to Jesus. I pray that you receive this word and that you put it to work in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah to Jesus. Let's stand up. Let's thank God for his word today. If you received anything today, I pray that you'll do something great with it. You'll put it to work. Don't hold the secret. Share it as well. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord God, we thank you for times of refreshing from your presence. Thank you, wonderful Spirit of God, for the way that you are using your people in this day and age. The Lord God, we can be truly great. We can be truly victorious. Everything necessary for life and godliness has been given unto us, Father. And we give you praise for it, Lord God. We thank you for the way you've got us. Every leeching spirit that tries to attach itself to us, we destroy it by fire in the mighty name of Jesus. We say, Lord God, that you are the dictator of life around us. We say that you are the dictator of our attitude. We declare that you are Lord, and we follow your lead, Heavenly Father. Thank you, wonderful Jesus, for the way your hand is upon us to bless us, to bring us out into a roomy pasture, Lord God, even in the midst of the densest population on earth, Lord God, we still have room to live and move and have our being in you. We give you praise and honor and glory for it, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, Amen.